that that's unheard of in their experience in church. Where immediately you, oh, there's a live one. There's a buddy. Oh, what gifts do they have? What skills do they have? Well, let's plug them in. My personal feeling is that's wrong. I think God's the one that plugs people in. He tugs at their heart, and I don't want anybody serving out of guilt or serving to please me. And so my job's not to mobilize, simply to feed God's people and see that they're equipped to do what it is that ever it is that he has them do. Which brings us to the phrase works of service or ministry. I looked the word up. What's the Greek word, Fred? I didn't write it in. No, the word for ministry. Yeah. The diakonia. It's the word we get deacon from, by the way. It means loving, compassionate help for needy people in the Christian community. And I was just so glad when I got to write that down, because I thought that's exactly what Bob talked about this morning. It's what happened. I've heard some results from the women's ministry where people came back from that thinking, okay, there are people that are hurting in ways that I didn't know. Lord, show me what I can do. If nothing else, you can pray. It's that outward turned heart. I still don't understand. It's different here than any place that I've been. At least where I've landed here in this part of the country. I don't understand the view of church where it's just a place you show up when you feel like it. And you just sit there. And you go through the motions and then you go about your real life. Because the way that I was raised, it's church is your life. And there's no way that what Paul talks about here, the whole body growing up because the whole body is working properly and we're all getting our life from Jesus and we're coming to know him and we're living each day like he's the main thing, that when that happens, that cannot possibly take place in 3 hours a week in this building. It just can't. Part of it does, but the real work of the church happens out there, and it happens before and afterwards. I was talking with a couple of people this morning about how wonderful it is when I see people stick around, and they're not just socializing. Although, you know, word to the wise, if any mom that has little children needs to socialize with people who can complete sentences, people who are adults, you know, there's just interaction with another adult. Sometimes moms don't get it with their own husbands. If they don't have a husband, it's even worse. So that's not a bad thing, but the thing that blesses my heart, it just makes me cry sometimes, is that I'm watching people, I overhear conversations, and I see them praying for each other. I see the body doing what the body's supposed to do. People being sensitive to the needs of others, and I think that is it. That's what it's supposed to be. I have to admit, not everybody wants that, because it doesn't let them live their isolated lives, and which basically is translated as self-centered lives, which is a lot more comfortable for us. We found an interesting thing when a lot of us got to talking, that a lot of us, our default is to be a hermit. You put a whole bunch of people whose default is to be a hermit. I mean, I lived on islands my whole life, for Pete's sake, where you couldn't get there without a boat. Talk about being a hermit. When all of a sudden you dump us all together and give us love for each other and we want to please God, that's going to mean being taken out of my comfort zone a lot of times. And not everybody wants that. So the works of service, the works of ministry, some other translations say, simply means that we are being prepared to be Jesus in other people's lives. Pure and simple, in the purest form, that's what it is. I have to tell you that not everybody knows how to do that. I believe, this is social commentary, but I believe that families were intended by God to be how we learn how to do that. But do you know any normal families? If you do, there probably aren't very many. In our culture, it's like the thing that Julia said on the thing she went to the other night about purity. That there is a whole generation of people who grow up and have no idea what that means. No one's ever told them what that means. Their family doesn't know what that means. And the place where they're supposed to learn such things, social skills, and even on a pragmatic, non-spiritual level, I'm surprised how many people are handicapped in that. They've never known how. So the church is not only what ministers to the needs of people supposed to be, but it's how we learn how to do that. And often we learn how to do it because there God plants people in the body who have a heart for that, who can't stand up in church and talk about it without crying. People who have that's the beating heart that they have, and we watch their lives and we see, okay, that's how you do it. And that's how we learn, and that's always what the church is supposed to be. I was so tempted to talk about what the church is instead of that, and I think that would just be self-defeating and depressing. But we weren't intended to be an audience. We weren't intended even to be a social action society. And I believe that the primary purpose of the church existing is given to us in this passage. So pastor teachers to fully equip, set the broken bones, mend the nets, rebuild the engine, feed the starving, spiritually starving sheep so that they are prepared and equipped to live compassionate lives, reaching out to those in the body first, then to the world outside. So that, and the purpose for all of that, we're still on verse 12. Those of you Bible students know that whenever you see the word so that, you're about to be told the reason for something. So take notes, a key phrase. So that the body may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in our epinosis of Jesus. And I'm just going to have to take this in small chunks because it's big stuff. So the body may be built up. The King James Bible, I believe the New King James, says edifying. That's one of those Christian words that's an old word that a lot of times we don't know what it means. It simply means strengthened spiritually. You ever been around people that every conversation you have with them, you walk away feeling sick of yourself or, you know, like what a loser you are? And then there are other people that after every conversation, you just feel handsomer and more muscular and better adjusted. Well, one person's tearing you down and another person is building you up. And I don't mean in an unhealthy way, because to be honest with you, when we get down to the part about speaking the truth in love, there are sometimes I need to hear things I don't want to hear about myself. I need to. Just like I need a doctor to tell me if there's something wrong with my body that has to be addressed. So part of being healthy is hearing the truth. But the overall result of when we minister to one another is that the body is built up. If you walk out of here feeling worse than you did when you came in, then we have failed. You know what I mean? You might feel worse about your flesh. I always do. I read certain guys every morning, certain pastors every morning are my pastor. And there are times where I'm just ashamed of my stinking flesh from what I read. But they have a knack of always pointing me to Jesus. And every time I turn to Jesus, even when I stink, I walk away from that place not stinking anymore. You know what I mean? And I wound up being built up and strengthened. I think that if we came here with that in our minds, and I know it's true because I see some of you do this, if I came here thinking I want the people that are part of the body that I'm part of to be strengthened spiritually because I met them today, guess what would happen? That would happen. Because we'd have ears that are tuned to the Lord and... Here's the other thing if you come dragging yourself in just because you're just such a wreck, you need people to minister to you, hear straight from the pastor's mouth, that's okay. Don't stay home. Come here, let us love on you, let us pray for you. I hear often people say, well, I just felt too crummy to come to church. And I thought, that should sound really weird, because that's the place I need to be. That should be the place that when I leave, I feel better than I did when I came in spiritually. That's what it means for the body to be built up. It means growing, flourishing spiritually, strengthened spiritually. It doesn't always mean all my questions are answered. It may even mean that I've had cold water splashed in my face and I've gotten refocused. And if you need perspective after a week out in the world, wow. Well, this is supposed to be a place. Remember Asaph in Psalm 73 talks about he was thinking like an animal, thinking it wasn't even worth it to serve God. He said, until I came into the sanctuary and I saw the whole story, I saw where the path of the wicked goes, I saw where the path of the righteous goes, and he said, and then I was okay. That's always what the sanctuary is supposed to be, a place where I'm refreshed and built up and refocused. I already said it can't possibly be confined to 3 hours a week in this building. It just can't. It's odd. I've had people sometimes say that, that what we do is so, we'd only do a couple of things. We do just sort of meat and potatoes. It's not a very complicated program. And I believe that the ministry of the church was never meant to be a program at all. It was supposed to be relationships of people that have the Holy Spirit in them, and God leads us to one another, and this thing that we're doing now when we worship together, be easier to maybe to have that in our minds if I wasn't the worship leader. I'm one of them. But it's especially noticeable when I'm not the worship leader, that I'm not the guy that's doing everything. I'm just doing the part that I'm supposed to do. And here's the flesh's attempt at this. The flesh's attempt, which is a very, very poor substitute, like any time the flesh is trying to do something spiritual, is we try to organize everybody. I've heard suggestions over the years of people say, okay, now we need to take people and we need to assign this person to this person. And I just want to scream and I want to think, first of all, you're not the Holy Spirit. He can do that. In fact, I think he does it beautifully. When humans do it, we wreck it. I know a guy who's not here anymore in this county, but wonderful guy. I'd love him. I love his whole entire family. But he did not understand this thing about what a pastor was, and he thought that his job was to mobilize people. As soon as they walk through the door, mobilize them. Get them involved. The problem is you have a whole church full of mobilized people who aren't being fed. And they're not growing. And it's a waste of energy if we're not doing the main thing. I know pastors. I was talking with my friend last week and talking with Mike this morning. Guys who've been pastors before know that there are certain pastors that are total control freaks, and they have to know everything that's going on, and they have to supervise everything that's going on, and they're terrified if they don't. I don't think that way. I kind of like the fact that I don't know everything that's going on out there. I have enough just to concentrate on the part that he's given me to do. I know why they want to know everything, that they want to pick what the home fellowship group study, and they want, just have their hands on everything. And I think, that's scary. But they're afraid there will be hotbeds of insurrection. We've had them. We've had people that tried to take over. But my understanding is when there's a power struggle, the spiritual person hits the dirt. That's my understanding. That if my flesh is going to fight somebody else's flesh, then the only thing that could possibly win that is flesh. and we have seen God remove people. So I'm not, I trust him. I just listen for the good fruit. I listen to see if there's something I can do to help, but I don't have to know everything that's going on. I would like it if I knew who was hurting. And I think that when we know each other better, we get more open and real with one another. But I know some people are just scared. And I know one person who comes sometimes who always thinks I'm mad at her. She comes thinking I'm mad at her. I don't have to say anything. She thinks I'm mad at her. And the reason is because she's had a lot of pastors mad at her. She's had a husband that was mad at her. And that's her posture pretty much, is that, you know, I'm going to come into the light and people are going to be mad at me. And man, that's a lie straight from the pit. It's true, you can't always find a safe place to be real, but once you find one, it's what the church is supposed to be. Once you find one, then you can relax. I love what you said, Tony, about that. God's a lot easier to please than I am. That's why it's a good thing that he's running the church. So that's verse 12. Until the body of Christ may be built up, until we all, and I love that word all, meaning that God's agenda is that everybody, and we're all in different stages of growth, but that all may reach unity. Remember, that word means oneness. It doesn't necessarily mean uniformity. It does in the sense of we're all being made like Jesus. But doesn't mean uniformity in the sense that we all have to like the same music and look alike and have the same personality. That is not only not realistic, that would be contrary to our designer. Our creator made us different for a reason. I have noticed over the years that God sends, when God sends people, and you know he sent them, that the personality issues are non-issues. People just blend together perfectly well, and you watch the body function, and you just think, this is so brilliant how you did this, God. I would have never picked these people to be connected, but you were so smart in how you did it. Somebody told me this morning before church, you know, we have a church full of quirky people. And I think that that was meant in a good way. One man's quirky is another man's treasure, by the way. Until we all reach, that's the goal, that oneness. And in two areas. First one, as I told you, is in the faith. The definite article means it's not talking simply about pistis, that word for trusting in, clinging to, relying upon God. When it uses the definite article in the Greek text, it's talking about that body of convictions and beliefs about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, the truth about him, that we come to know the truth about him, and that we are coming to oneness in the knowledge, epinosis, of the Son of God. I believe both things are needed. I don't think you get both in many churches. I believe that because I've gone to enough pastors' meetings and I've talked to pastors that don't even know the Lord intimately. They don't know there is such a thing. They're fierce about doctrine. They're fierce about people having correct beliefs. Nothing wrong with that at all. But the life in it is gone because they're not teaching people to know the Lord intimately, to walk with him. This word epinosis is a wonderful word. It's one of three primary Greek words used for knowledge. One of the Greek words, probably the one that's used the most for knowledge in the Greek Bible, is speaking of experiential or factual knowledge. Nothing wrong with that. The other Greek word that is used often is speaks of intuitive knowledge, recognition. I remember when in my first church, when we had 28 toddlers in our nursery one time. Wrap your brain around that. talk about a challenge to get people to volunteer for nursery services. 28 toddlers. But the interesting thing was there was one lady that had three kids in the toddlers class. One set of twins and then another toddler. God bless that woman. They're all in their 30s now. They turned out just fine. But I noticed that when they were crying, when the whole nursery was crying, she knew exactly which were her babies crying. See, not to men, that's a mysterious thing. That secret knowledge, like when women seem to be able to read your mind, is frightening. I still don't know how they do it. But that's the word, Greek word for intuitive knowledge. Epinosis differs from that. It may involve both of those things. It is the word that is always used when God talks about the way he wants us to know him. Interestingly, it's the way the Bible talks about God knowing us. It's a word of relationship. Intimacy is maybe the best one English word to translate it. And it does contrast, even though it does contain aspects of... And here's the reason that I'm saying all this. It's hard for me. I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. When you see people that they show up at church, some of them, you know the scriptures. Some of them just love being around church because they just love being around where God's doing stuff, and they just love that. But their lives are not characterized by walking around intimately with the Lord. And I think then why? Why would you settle for church when you can have that all the time? And when you have that and you get a bunch of people that have that in their everyday lives and they get together, it's a powerful thing. So part of what the church is supposed to be being built into is to come to a place of oneness where we all know the Lord that way, as well as knowing the facts about him. You've probably figured it out by now. If you study the whole Bible, I always start with the New Testament. It's taken us a while to get through that. But we've got lots of studies. Wayne is bravely going through the early parts of the Old Testament. Same God. But the purpose of Scripture isn't just to know doctrine. It's to know our Heavenly Father. It's to know Jesus that he sent. It's not to just know stuff about him. It's to come to know him personally and intimately. And once you do, you can't go back to just learning stuff about him. One of my biggest beefs with Bible colleges is how many of them equip you on one of these areas but do not equip you in the other. They don't teach you how to walk with the Lord in intimacy. They just teach you good doctrine. They teach you theology or Christology or eschatology. And they do an excellent job at those things. My understanding is the church, the pastor, teacher, the body functioning in the way that a healthy body will, is that we will come to a place where we all know the Lord intimately, not just the truth about him. I have learned that the greatest discernment that you can give people to recognize false doctrine is not just to teach them God's word so they have something to compare it to, but to just teach them to know the Lord. And after a while, you know the Lord and you start recognizing, wait a minute, that doesn't smell like Jesus. I love this. This happens to me almost every week. Somebody will come up and say, you know, I've listened to some guy on the radio or I read some book and I'm just thinking, I read through this and I thought, this doesn't sound anything like Jesus. And in my heart, I'm doing the happy pastor dance of joy because I'm thinking, okay, how do you know that? You know it's not like Jesus because you know Jesus. So that should be happening. And that should be part of everything we do with each other. All of these things should be happening every time we interact with each other. I was just thinking, Annie, that book that you gave to Patricia. Here's a person that's totally a captive to her disease. Can't really do anything. Everything has to be done for her. But you gave her a whole book about the promises of God. And she didn't know the Bible had promises of God until she started coming to our Bible study. She primarily thought the Bible was yelling at you for not being good enough. So this is like treasure. Every time she opens it up, she hears, it's like she's hearing words of, she's getting love notes from Jesus himself. What a valuable thing that is. And so what's happening is she's coming to know the real Jesus. Hopefully that's happening every time we have a Bible study. It better be. So that we may become mature, the King James says, unto a perfect man. I had you underline that word perfect if you have an older translation. The Greek word is the word teleos, T-E-L-E-I-O-S, teleos. It simply means fully developed.